Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Thursday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Time for your Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Here's Guy Patterson III.
Thank you. Number one, staying on the topic of recruiting, Vincent Snead, a 3-star defensive end out of Florida, committed to Tennessee.
Just a great name. What other jobs? I've already said Vincent Snead, he's a defensive end in football. He could also be the front man for a Motley Crue cover band.
I don't get that. Vincent Snead.
What else could he do?
Vincent Snead.
Feel like he could be a 1930s cartoon villain.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Snead, Snidely, Vincent Snead.
Snidely Whiplash.
I was thinking like a butler. Sounds like a butler name.
Yeah, it's okay. Vincent, like my shoes are muddy. Please fetch my slippers.
It's got a very – we're picking up some country club sounding kids lately. Huntley Hatfield III. Vincent Snead.
Is he Huntley Hatfield III or is he just
– No, that's just something I added
B-H-H.
On to him. B-double-H.
There is a epidemic of last name. Too many last names. It's like these kids got to pick a last name. I know – a lot of them.
Kennedy Chandler.
They want to pick from their mother, their father's name, Josiah, Jordan, James.
And Josiah is a strong biblical name. I like that.
No, I'm not.
James.
I'm talking about the hyphenated names.
Oh.
Let's pick a name, kids. Come on. One last name.
Their mamas.
One last name. That's what you get in this world.
Okay.
Constitutional amendment to ban hyphenated names. Too much? A little bit? Okay. We'll rethink that.
All right, number two. Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier are set to have their fight go on July 10th with a full crowd in Vegas at UFC 264.
I mean, it's about time. The McGregor fights, they say, have been one to rival the Tyson fights late in Las Vegas from back in the day, just in terms of the atmosphere around it. I mean, have you seen what happens? I mean, it's – freaking mayhem. They got to call in the National Guard. Every drunken Irishman within a 1,000-mile radius will find his way to Las Vegas for that fight.
Now, we'll give him – is there any greater walk than the swaggering Irishman walk? He does it.
Well, Vince McMahon was – that's the Vince McMahon walk.
They've been doing it long before Vince McMahon, my friend.
Who?
McGregor?
Not McGregor, but that's – Vince McMahon didn't invent the swaggering, you know, Irishman, I'm getting ready to knock the crap out of you walk. It's an Irish thing.
That walk is an Irish thing.
Yeah.
I've only seen two people do it.
I've only seen one do it. I didn't make the Vince McMahon connection, but
– yeah, I've seen several people do it. Numerous people. Many, many people, they say.
But they're imitating McGregor.
No, they're not.
You saw people do that walk before Conor McGregor or Vince McMahon.
William Gallagher's been doing it since 94. That's how he swaggers up to the microphone. He's either going to fight or sing.
Are we really – I just feel like he's washed up at this point, man. Yeah, Poirier's going to kick his ass.
His last fight was pretty disappointing.
His last couple of fights been disappointing.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's probably pretty close to being on the Mount Rushmore of crap talkers.
Oh, yeah, no
smack
doubt.
Smack talk. It's the accent and the attitude, yeah.
When was the last McGregor fight where – how old is he? He's 32. When was the last
– I don't think we're talking about a 32-year-old as being old.
When was the last McGregor fight – well, in that sport.
No, that's true.
He fought like 3 months ago, didn't he? I know I lost some money on him.
But what was the last fight of his where he looked really good? Where
it was when he fought a cowboy. The old fighter, I can't remember.
Oh, Donald Cerrone.
Yeah, Cowboy Cerrone.
But no, that was after he'd lost to Khabib.
Oh well, yeah, it was after, but he looked good. Maybe it's because Cowboy's just as much washed up, but
he hasn't had one of those magical nights since he knocked out Jose Aldo in like 12 seconds.
It all went downhill for him when he challenged Mayweather to that boxing match. Just hasn't been the same since.
I think that was the turning point when Floyd took him apart. Yeah, maybe.
All right, moving on to number three. Nashville has eased up on some of their COVID protocols, restrictions about crowd sizes for indoor and outdoor gatherings. Indoor sporting events can now host 35% capacity, meaning the Predators are allowed to have almost 6,000 people at their games again.
What was it before?
It was 15%, I think. So before that, it was like 2,000, 2,500. That arena only holds 17,000 people.
And they're going up to 6,000 now, so it's still not even half full.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's – I guess you can't just flip the switch and have everybody stream back into these things. So you got to taper off a little bit. But
well, I mean, part of it is that they're looking at – like Tennessee's ranked almost dead last as far as – I mean, if you want to get a vaccine, it's no problem getting it, like 18 and up, because we're the second most vaccine-hesitant state in the union. People just aren't getting it. Don't want it, probably not going to get it. So,
I feel like a lot of people are getting it in Tennessee.
Not according to the numbers, no. I was reading this morning.
I mean, it's only been – but do you think that's hesitancy or it's like – I don't know. Maybe people are hesitant. I mean,
I'm sure there is. I mean, you know, and you really can't blame – myself personally, I didn't have a choice given my situation. I was quite a bit hesitant before I found out, you know, about the reason that I don't have a choice.
But don't you think a lot of younger folks are probably they'll get it? I think they're just going to wait till the next time they go to the doctor or something. If you're 26 and you're hustling out there, you're working hard. You're not going to like it's not going to be the.
I don't know. The only thing that give me pause if I'm young is that the. These new variants that are, you know, because I mean, this stuff is still out of control around the world in certain spots like Brazil, India, and it's mutating badly, and they're starting to notice there's a disturbing – it's a trend. I'm not saying it's widespread, but people getting put in hospitals are getting younger and younger. So,
I mean
– I wouldn't want to mess around.
I got my first shot on Tuesday. So, I mean, I wasn't first in line, but I'm not going to be last either. I would recommend people get it, but at a certain point,
I mean, it's
you can't force anybody to get it, so you're going to have to open these things up, and people are just going to have to either get it or deal with the consequences. It's your life.
The only time I have a problem with it is if you're just refusing to get it, it mutates, and then you make it so that my vaccine is ineffective because you didn't want to get a vaccine, and now it's mutated in your ass, and I'm going to get really sick and die.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen either.
I won't infringe on your rights. Don't infringe on mine.
All right, number four. Cordarrelle Patterson has found a new home in the NFL. He signed a one-year deal with the Atlanta Falcons this morning.
I'll give it to CP, man. He has found a way to be a one-trick pony. Like I thought that at some point he would have to learn how to run routes and catch passes. And he's just said, no, I'm just going to return kickoffs. I'm going to do it very well. I'm going to do it for a long time. And he's turned that into a very lucrative career.
Probably, him and Devin Hester, the two best that ever did it?
I see a lot of people who compare them and say that Hester was a much better punt returner, but Cordarrelle is a much better kick returner.
Yeah, Cordarrelle's open field running skill is unparalleled. He's got incredible vision.
All right, last one. A lady in Australia went to the grocery store, bought all her groceries, got home. As her kids were helping her unload her groceries, the son found a venomous snake in a prepackaged bag of lettuce.
Not surprising.
Did he get to take it back and exchange it?
I would hope so. The lady was shopping at an Aldi's in Australia and posted the picture of the snake to a Facebook group of all the community members.
What kind of snake was it?
I think it said it was just a white-headed venomous snake.
About white-headed. It makes it even worse.
Yeah, that's bad.
Just give me a regular brown venomous snake. Huh?
It was a baby snake that had just found its way into
I was
a bag
talking
of
with Troy Hale from Buckethead Tavern last week, and he was doing some landscaping around his yard and gotten a great deal on some hydrangeas out of this farm in Nebraska. Just bear with me. So he goes and opens a box, and there is a he sent me a picture of like five and a half foot long black snake that, yeah, it's not poisonous, but this 5 foot long snake's been coiled up in this box for God knows how long on the back of a truck, and it's pissed. It's just all hissing and stuff. So that was the last thing he was expecting when he opened the box of flowers. And the thing was apparently quite upsetting.
Unexpected snakes are the absolute worst. I've only run into one, like, up close and personal. I guess most snakes in the wild are unexpected. But
was it poisonous?
No, it was little. I remember a friend of mine flung it into the river with a stick. You ever see a snake, like, flip?
Oh, yeah.
And flail like that? It was something else. But, yeah, it.
Well, some guy got bit at a zoo over the past several days where it's some kind of African pit viper, and they don't have an antivenom for it.
That's not good.
No.
So did he die?
No, they've apparently got some effective treatments for it, but it's like, I mean, its venom's hemotoxic. I mean, it attacks your blood. It can dissolve your organs and stuff. I wonder what that feels like, your internal organs dissolve with snake venom. Think it's painful for us?
I don't know. You asked me earlier what it feels like to stick your head in the
mouth
jaws
of a grizzly bear.
Didn't really have any sort of frame of reference I could provide for you there. Interestingly enough, trust me, if I had a bit by a venomous snake story, you would have heard it a long time ago. That's not the stuff that I kind of spring in. Oh, by the way.
My dad claims that he cannot be hurt by snakes anymore. He grew up in the swamps in Florida. So that he's been bit by so many snakes that his blood is now immune to snake venom.
That sounds like a theory I wouldn't want to test if
no.
I were him.
I mean, I remember we were canoeing a couple summers ago, and a moccasin came across the water. Ugh. He just dove in under into the water, came up right underneath it.
What did you do, the crocodile hunter?
He grew up in the swamps.
Your dad saw a water moccasin. He's in a canoe. He jumps out of the canoe into the water.
Yeah, after the moccasin.
I mean, no offense. What the hell's wrong with your dad, Trey?
That's just how he was raised. He was raised raised
himself.
That
guy Turtle Man,
like Tarzan or something.
Like Turtle Man would be a good.
You know
comparison.
Who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Do you know who I'm talking about? The Turtle Man.
No.
What was that noise he used to make?
He's from up in Kentucky. No, I'm not even going to try to.
Your dad's
it.
From up in Kentucky.
No, the
just
Turtle Man.
You'll have to look him up. At
your
some
dad's
point.
From where now?
He's from. It's called Crawfordville. Florida. It's actually the same city that Felipe Franks is from.
Is your dad
enough.
Florida man, basically?
Yeah, he is.
He kind of is. He joined the military at 18 and then left and just has been everywhere now.
Has he got like a snakeskin belt or boots? Or
I wouldn't be surprised if it's ones that he's caught and skinned himself.
Learning a lot about GP3 here as he settles into his new role here on The Drive. Still don't know about him. Still wary. I don't know. There's just a vibe, a mysteriousness there. But doesn't really surprise me at all to learn that his dad was crazy Florida snake guy. Where do we find these people, Bear? Alex and the lizards.
Yeah. And Hickman. Alex Olives. Hickman.
Ripping his hand off on a zip line up in Sevierville.
Your boy, what was it he pulled on us yesterday? I had to stop him. It was like. It was like 9 after 5, and Stevens tried to go to break.
Oh.
I was like, hey, bro.
Hey,
settle in.
He thought we did the 15-minute breaks.
These young kids have to take a break every 10 minutes, man. Got to let it breathe. Let it roll. Let it ride. That's what we do.
Roll.
Here on The Drive, Top 5 at 5, brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Dr. Steve Malone practicing dentistry here in town for 25 years now, does a fantastic job out there at Knoxville Smiles. Schedule your routine cleaning today online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. If you have a toothache, a pain, something you need to have addressed immediately, they can help you out there as well. Call them at 865-539-1776 to set up an appointment. KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Donnie Tindall back in the news. His team at Chipola Junior College is doing really well. Apparently they are in the
Chipotle Junior College. They're affiliated with the restaurant.
Chipola.
Oh. Okay. How many more years has he got left on his show costs?
See, that was 6 years ago, so four more seasons.
You think we'll ever see him back in regular basketball?
Well, if he serves his 10-year show cause and doesn't have any problems there, I mean, everybody is everybody's entitled to a second chance, right? He'll be 56 in 5 years when the thing is over. So he didn't get the show cause until a year after because it took some while to investigate.
Right.
So he's got 5 years. He'll be 56 years old. Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that be a redemption story?
Rick Barnes
retires and hands it off to a born-again Donnie Tindall. I'm here for
it. No, thanks.
The Tindall year was fun, man. You can't say it wasn't.
All the Tindall cups.
He was a horrible cheater, but if he could somehow hold it together, the cup was pretty cool. The big gulp on the sideline, that crazy matchup zone. We got after it, dude. They were fun to watch.
He could draw up a play. He would get the guy he wanted open at the end of a game.
He did not get fired for being a bad basketball coach.
No, he got fired for being a horrible cheater.
Yeah.
What about that meme that was where him and Gulp?
Yeah, they're like on a motorcycle in one, and
he's like
surfing in another one.
He was a really nice. I've talked to people that met him when he was here and said he was just, you know.
I met him. He's a super cool dude.
Yeah.
Super down to earth.
He loved being our coach, didn't he?
Oh, man.
God, they didn't vet that guy, though.
See, I'm talking you into it. He comes
no,
over.
What no,
if he's,
not
what if he's doing
Barnes.
The whole religious thing? He's like, man.
Know me about that deal. I'm automatically hyper suspicious.
Of just religious people? You went just, to Catholic.
Exactly. Overly like, oh, God, I've sinned.
Well, not like that. Not like that.
Oh, Heavenly Father.
Not like that. Just saying he's Heavenly took a Father. Look in the mirror. He's been humbled. He had a 10-year show cause.
We'll see. The whole born-again thing, I'm naturally suspicious of it. Yeah, I did go to Catholic school. Why do you think I'm so suspicious of it? Nuns act like they're all holy, and they beat the crap out of you every time you turn around for the slightest transgression, Russell, can result in what's, you know, in most states and municipalities, is borderline an assault and battery. But they get away with it.
You think they kind of got off on it because it's like,
no.
They're supposed to be little sweet nuns. And
No.
It's got to be exciting to have a little rush, a little brush with danger, a little violence in your life.
No, I just think that they're you know, most of the ones I knew were.
No, I bet they did.
No.
I bet they totally got
they
off on
They do that whole, this is going to hurt me more than hurt you. Jesus help me. And then whap, whap, whap.
This is going to hurt me. Worse than it's going to hurt you.
I don't
biggest
think so,
load
sister.
Of, biggest load
yeah.
of.
I really don't think so. It's going to hurt a lot more. You know, you're barely physically fit. You still play tennis at age 78. Pretty good, I might add. And you're wielding a half an inch thick yardstick like a lightsaber.
Yeah, I think my dad said that to me a couple of times as he was taking off his belt. It's like, Dad, I don't know. I don't know if you've thought this through. Think this is actually going to hurt me a lot worse.
Hell yeah. I mean, I've seen your dad. Your dad's huge. And not even stinky. Your dad's a big dude. Like, he's a lot bigger than you. He's like tall like you and then big like your brothers. How'd that feel being the oldest brother and being like physically not as like.
What are you doing?
Just not being like as like masculine as your brothers.
Yeah. I don't know. Neither of them had their own radio show.
That's true.
Tony Vitello, coming up here in just a few moments. You've been extra surly today. Like, the bear surliness has just been through the roof. Are you going to be able to dial it down for Tony Vitello? Like, you're not going to ruin this great relationship. He's the only coach over there that, like, gives us the time of day.
You are out of your mind if you think I would do anything to ever. I'll be sugar and spice, man. I love Coach.
You dial it down just a little bit.
I think he's the best hire we've had on campus since Bruce Pearl. I put him up there. He's still got to prove it. I've got faith in him. I think he's going to do it. But I put him in the same kind of category as Pearl and Mears as far as just instinctively understanding this town and how to get the fan base behind him and get him excited. And he's got a little bit of P.T. Barnum in him, and I like it. He's not afraid to go after people. What's his late? Did he get in a little bit of a?
No, I went back and.
What was the deal on that? Like, I heard bits and pieces
there
about
was,
it.
It was
I don't want to ask him.
So at the end of the series against Florida, I went back and watched this yesterday because people said that the Florida pitcher who got the final out was yelling at the dugout, and then Tony was yelling back at him, and they were editing. So you know how the series is going off and. The guy's like, well, so long from Lindsey Nelson Stadium. And they're showing, like, highlights from the game
right.
or whatever. It was one of those things. And it was going back and forth. And so it did show one of the Florida guys getting fired up. And maybe he was yelling at the dugout. Maybe he was yelling at Vitello. I don't know. But then they showed another one. And it was clear to me, Vitello coming out of the dugout and yelling at the ump.
Right.
Like, getting all fired up, doing his Tony Vitello thing. And they edited it. I don't know if they did it intentionally to make it look like
accidental.
They were going at each other.
Like to me, it would not surprise me to see Coach Vitello yell number one in an ump because he's a baseball coach.
It was just a bunch of clips, really success. Because like the next clip after that was a Tennessee player getting a hit, and then the next clip after that was a Florida player making a great play in the field. They were just showing highlights.
I'd have a hard time believing he would. Opposing team's coach, the umpires. A fair game with Coach Vitello. I would be stunned if he would tear into an opposing team's player.
Yeah, I don't think he would do it. I mean, I could see it, but I don't
think unless
he would.
Somebody unless they were like throwing at one of his guys' heads.
If that's what had happened, you would have heard. I mean, it would have been a bigger story.
Oh, yeah.
All right, quick timeout. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
All right, back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell and Bear cruise along with you. Thursday afternoon edition of the show. To the G3 Help Me Hotline we go, where Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello is standing by. Coach, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Afternoon. Doing well. Field looks good out there. Nice day. We had a nice little session of training, so all is right.
Very good. Very good. Now, Coach, let's get this out of the way here. Bear and I, we're going to need a couple of tickets for tomorrow night. Something in the first 2-3 rows if it's not too much trouble.
That's not a problem.
That's not a problem, right?
Let me go to Bank of America and take out $800.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable, man. Like, the buzz around this series, last weekend series, is this, other than the COVID situation and what that's done to last season and then the ticket situation, obviously, is this kind of what you had pictured and dreamed of when you took this job as far as just the excitement level around the program right now?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was to obviously be ourselves and our own version of it, but it doesn't, you don't have to look far. You just look on our left field wall and know Tennessee baseball with Rod Delmonico and his era and the names that played for him, the Heltons and the Burks and the Aaron Sebias, Ho Chaver. So we wanted to have our own names and have kind of our own era that was similar to that, and if we were to do that, we knew what would happen. The entire state and all the alumni that are all over the country, because when we go recruiting, they'll point you out in a hurry or grab you and ask you questions if you got your orange on, would rally around the whole deal. And I think because of COVID, it does make it unique, and you have StubHub conversations and things like that, but I think at the very least, it gives you a little insight to what it could be like here with maybe a little construction or, you know, a competitive SEC game and a good team on the field with everybody wanting to come to the games.
No doubt about it. And the thing that's interesting is, man, we've gone from the mantra going into these SEC series for Tennessee fans used to be, don't get swept. Just win a game and win a series here or there, but whatever you do, don't get swept. You win your midweek games. That's the path to the tournament. Coach, we've gone from that to being like mildly disappointed when you have an opportunity to sweep Florida at home. It falls through the cracks. What was your message to the team after that game on Sunday?
You know, it was difficult. There was emotions going, and I think, kind of took an extra second in the dugout to make sure you speak rationally and not just based off emotion to the guys. And we kept it short and kept it simple and said, if anything, you have got a big week ahead of you. And, your week for baseball immediately starts on a Monday morning. And so we just told them to put themselves in a good position Sunday night with some good rest and academic work or whatever to get after it starting Monday, because Western Carolina, the game we won on Tuesday, their RPI was as high as Florida's. And then I don't even know what Vanderbilt's. Yeah, no, that's no doubt. It was 31 and 32.
Okay.
So that game on Tuesday was a tough one. I mean, that could take up our whole segment. It was rough. But the bottom line is, I told our guys, whether you liked going there or you thought this or that, that was the equivalent of beating Florida on a Tuesday, a non-conference game. And we got the job done. We got a lot of guys utilized. Max Ferguson had a breakout game. And now we'll play another team with a huge RPI. So you get too down on any of these games. I mean, at Georgia, we blow a save on Saturday. If you get too down on it, you're going to lose the series on Sunday. But if you handle it right, you can put yourself in a position to bounce back and win the series on a Sunday and make it a great weekend, which is what we were fortunate enough to do. There's just so little margin for error, and there's a huge difference when you win a series. So it's crazy how drastic things can swing. So you're better off, not getting too excited or not getting too down.
Tony Vitello with us this afternoon on The Drive. Coach, you referenced the RPI a couple of times there, and one of the things that I find challenging about following college baseball is all the different rankings out there, the USA Today coaches, the D1, the RPI. Is that the metric you prefer to use and give the most credence to?
You know, I think how you play in your conference is going to dictate, where you belong. And I do think the conferences should be awarded appropriately. I mean, if our league is the biggest gauntlet, we should have the most teams in as we have. But in order for you to be a bubble team and get in, or be a strong conference team and host a regional, you need to win those games that are non-conference, in particular on Tuesdays. And I think sometimes we call them midweek games, and in college baseball, that can have a negative connotation sometimes. I think you're better off at looking at those as host games, or you can call them play-in games or regional games, whatever type of label, but those are going to be difference makers for you as well. But we are fortunate enough to play in the SEC where you'll take your lumps, but if you can stay afloat, you'll get rewarded for it. I mean, we've had, 10, I think maybe even 11 teams in once in the final 64. So we're in a good position if we can just kind of, again, hold our own in this league. And you guys are saying now your mind shift has kind of gone towards win a series or we're disappointed. Ours truly is just grab as many SEC games as you can, and when you win one, celebrate it a little bit, but not too much. And when you lose one, just be ready for the next one, because even if you can just grab one any weekend, it's huge.
Well, when you talk about this conference, I mean, Vanderbilt's been one of the standard bearers, and we all know about the two starting pitchers that they've got there in the program that Coach Corbin has built. What is your just general outlook on this series this weekend against Vandy?
Yeah, well, it kind of sticks with the theme of what I'm talking about, and it would just be words to our guys if we're just saying that. I think you got to live it, and our entire focus right now is getting to know our opponent and our starter for, their starter that the starter will face for Friday. And, we're more familiar with Rocker because we've faced him once. He's also trained here in town a little bit, so our guys have kind of bumped into him a little bit, maybe have a friendship with him here or there. And then, two, I got to know his family, and it couldn't be better people, And so we'll try and learn as much as we can about what he brings to the table, but you can't entirely change your game just for the opponent. It's got to be a little bit of a mesh. So bottom line is our guy's good. Their guy's good. Their team is good. Ours is good. We're fortunate enough. We get to play at home, and it's starting to become kind of a rowdy environment and one that's very personable or personal to us. And so maybe that's an edge at the very start of the game.
Now, Coach, I'm getting some information online. Our mutual buddy, former co-host here, Trey Wallace, is saying they might be throwing open some more tickets to fans this weekend.
I know they're doing that for a fact. I've been pressed by some people to give definite answers. As I look out my office to the right, they put up some sort of extra bleachers in one area.
Really?
I just know the fact we have our chancellor involved comforts me. And then, two, when I was over in Danny White's office area, I just know they're being very aggressive and trying to come up with new ways to push the envelope. And we can't make a jump from, 40% to 100% or anything like that. But it's been a little gradual each week, and this will be another week where we increase things a little bit. I think they've finally kind of started to stay away from hard line numbers, and I wouldn't know accurate ones anyway. But I know we had a really nice crowd against Florida on Sunday, and that was our biggest one, and tomorrow's will definitely be bigger. I wish I could say how much, but I think the bottom line is kind of like our program progressing along. The fan attendance is inching along in a positive way.
Oh, there is a hunger for it, Coach. I mean, if there were no restrictions, I think y'all would be selling out every seat in the park for these past couple of series. It'd be a madhouse over there this weekend for sure.
Yeah, no, it'd be fun. The thing I think I've started to enjoy the most is the idea of people tailgating for our games. They do it at some of the other parks in our league. I mean, you show up 6 hours before the game and you see some people in the parking lot, and that might be a little drastic, but what a fun deal to make a day of it and hang out with friends or family, kind of like you would do on a football day. The difference is you could pick one of any 3 days or all 3 days if you wanted to do it over here.
What's the closer situation, Coach? I know you've been trying out a lot of different people at end of the games and used a lot of pitchers on Tuesday. What happens if we get a one-run lead heading into the bottom of the ninth Friday and you got a couple of guys on base? Who are you going to?
Well, I'm hoping Chad Dallas still has the ball in his hand. But, I think we try and look at those matchups and also the situation. I think if it's really tight like that, then you're going to go to Hundley or Kirby based off. I don't like getting too drastic with the split stats, but you do have that information, and it's remarkable. I mean, we tried to let Hundley finish the game the other day because he kind of has that. I know he doesn't look it, but he's got a little edge to him, and he would have wanted to finish it. But we let him face a lefty that ended up hitting a double off him. And that guy was hitting 200 points lower against left-handed pitchers. So if it was a conference game, we would have went to Kirby immediately. But, I think Redmond had one thing he was trying to work on, and it took him backwards a little bit. But it'll cycle back through where he's a guy, too, that's closing some games. But for now, Hundley and Kirby are kind of a two-headed monster. And I've pulled aside Drew Gilbert, our center fielder, and have told him, hey, if that game on Tuesday night goes into extra innings, we're just going to give you the ball and let you run with it. So he's kind of our little X factor out there in the outfield as well.
Would your players get the reference if we started referring to Kirby Connell as Volley Fingers?
No, it's but I would love it. It would make my spring, to be honest with you. I think some of them would, but not all of them would. I mean, I asked one of our guys if he'd seen the movie Horrible Bosses the other day, and he said no. So,
what?
Every day I feel like I'm relating to our guys. The next day I show up to work, and I feel like I'm completely lost. So we had – I don't want to go too fast here. I know we haven't started jam or no jam, but I didn't think Justin Bieber was a get-ready-to-play-a-weekend series type guy, but we had a lot of Justin Bieber at practice today per their request. So, again, I get lost sometimes
this
with these
generation.
Guys.
I don't get it, Coach.
We need to introduce him to Danzig.
Yeah, that's true. But, again, they probably would have never heard it, and they may not open their ears to it. So to each his own, I guess.
Last thing before we play Jam or Not a Jam, Liam Spence, Coach, I know he's a little bit banged up, but I saw where he's on that watch list for an award this week. He is playing at, some are saying, an SEC Player of the Year level. I mean, he is really grinding right now for you.
Yeah, you know, it's tough to pull that away from guys that are boppers. It's not quite like being a quarterback in the Heisman, but, you know, guys who hit a bunch of home runs or pitchers who strike a bunch of guys out typically are going to be your favorites in those trophy awards. But if you're talking about an award for just winning a game or a tournament or whatever it might be, he's a guy who's done it and has the ability to continue to do it. And I'm glad he's on our side. I thought your first question about him would be his health, where he's at. I mean, I looked up today at practice, and he was running after a fly ball like a madman. And I kind of had to correct him a little bit and said, if we're going to do that, let's do it on game day. But really what he was doing is just kind of trying to test it out a little bit. And he's getting really close. But to beat the same old drum, we're just going to be really conservative. We're not at the halfway point of SEC play yet. And that's crazy to say out loud, but it's true.
All right, we are fired up for it. Tennessee and Vanderbilt three-game series starts tomorrow night at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Coach, you ready to hear a few tunes with us?
Yes, indeed. Bring it on.
All right, Bear, what do you got? Oh, tell me you're not stomping your foot right now, Coach.
Great walk-up music.
I don't have a lot of rhythm, but any that I had, I started to put a little in my walk here. And I could envision Johnny Depp walking in the airport, too, in that movie. But that's a jam for sure.
I don't know what that is, who it is, Bear, but that's got to be a jam,
Black
right?
Betty.
Well, that's the name of the song. Who's the group?
I don't know.
There's one hit.
Ram Jam. Yeah. Way to go, Coach.
Wow.
Thank you. I appreciate that. 1-0 today.
That's well absolutely played, a jam. That'd be great walk-up music. Look out the pitcher and tell him I'm taking this.
I feel
one
like
yard,
I've heard
stick.
That many times in a ballpark.
Yeah.
Bear.
All right.
Now, this is our generation, Coach.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. I mean, that's what I was going to say is I haven't heard that one in a long time, but in its time, I was locked into that like no other. I think it's good enough if you're, you know, firing up that period of time. That belongs on a playlist where you could, you know, put it in a jukebox or play it over and over again. I'll go jam there.
Oh, I 100% a jam. Art Alexis, Everclear, love it.
It's one of those songs I didn't really appreciate at the time, but I don't know. I just get nostalgic, man. I turn on the 90s rock, and it's all good to me. So, yeah, perfect 3-for-3 jam right there, in my opinion.
All right, here we go, guys. Come, my lady, come, my lady.
You're my butterfly. I think this is still our generation. I don't know if I'm claiming this one, though. All right. What is that, Bear?
That is Butterfly by Crazy Town.
Come, my lady. That's some classic white boy rap right there.
I was doing my best to play college baseball when that thing was out, and they'd play that at the park. And I think at first it was like, yeah, and then it only takes about 3 or 4 times for you to get a little annoyed. Or I'm speaking for myself, so no jam.
I wholeheartedly concur.
Yeah, it's not a jam.
Oh, wow. I thought you might like that one.
No.
Would you tell us if you liked that?
Yeah,
one?
I feel like
Bear was rocking out, and then he heard me and Coach say not a jam, and then he
feel like I've been my bona fides are pretty well known.
All right,
I'll claim stuff.
I'll take you at your word. The Offspring.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go ahead with it. I'm going to roll with that senior year of high school. They were pretty hot there for a while.
That's another one for me. It's just like the Everclear, where at the time it was like, I don't know, it's even kind of cheesy. And now it's like, oh, yeah,
20,
the
22 years old.
Crank that.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
We were in, if no one wants to hear this, but we walked into a bar in Paris. We couldn't find something to do in Paris, France. And a cabbie dropped us off because he knew we were American, and it was a wannabe American bar. And that literally was the song that was playing. And, I mean, everyone knew every word.
Really? And the French people did?
Yeah, and we didn't leave. It was some 41, Green Day, Offspring, nonstop, and they knew every word. And so we obviously stayed.
Le Offspring, uh-huh. What are you doing in France, Coach? Was that a baseball thing?
No, that was a get-away-from-baseball thing.
Really?
You know, try and get a little culture in your life and, you know.
Coach Vitello, Tony Renaissance, man. Russ, what are you taking
Tony
for?
Tony Vitello is the most interesting man in the world. There's no doubt about it. All right, one more.
Last one.
What a sound.
Yeah. No, I'm not afraid to get in touch with my feminine side, but that's not one that clicks the button for me that much. So I'm gonna say no, Jim.
It's a hard one, man. I mean, I know it's not really my cup. I can't do it. Not a jam.
No, I'm disappointed in both of you. I love every single one of the Spice
really?
Girls. That's one of my favorites. I love that song. I love the video. I love everything about that song and video.
Bear celebrates their entire catalog.
Well, just that song and video.
That
is a jam.
Big Spice Girls guy. All right. Yeah. All right, Coach. Did that one come on the jukebox in Paris?
No, it did not. It did not. Although maybe in London with Beckham's wife being involved, I support anything she wants to do.
More of a Brit thing, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, Coach. Well, we appreciate your time. As always, my man, good luck. The Commodores, big in-state rivalry, man. We got to find a way to get a couple of W's this weekend.
Yeah, important games, but there's no question it's more pressure for the jam or no jam segment than it is to play these. So we'll just have fun with these games.
It's like they say in practice, we try and make the practice harder than the actual game. And then it's like swinging two bats in the on-deck circle, Coach. You're good to go now.
I feel that way. I feel that way. So if we have any success, credit to you guys.
There we go. All right, man. Appreciate you.
Okay, we'll see y'all.
Tony Vitello on the G3 Help Me Hotline.
Never disappoints. Mr. He's like electricity.
Knocking it out of the park again. We got to get a couple of dingers this weekend. Get those bats woke up.
I hope we rock rocker.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, stay with us. The Drive continues. Back to wrap things up after this.
The Drive. Man,
final segment brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook NBA Same Game Parlays. Check them out. Combine multiple props to form one gigantic super bet with one gigantic super payout. So many options. So many options. You can combine the money line, the point spread. Who scores the first basket? Is a player going to have 10 points, 15, over 20, rebounds, assists, three-pointers, steals, blocks? They've got it all. If you haven't tried FanDuel Sportsbook yet, new users get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Just place a bet, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. And right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 in site credit back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. You heard that right. Every single day. That's why I love FanDuel. You will too. Easy to use app, fast withdrawals, odds boosts, and special promotions that are always on point. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to try a same game parlay. Use promo code DRIVE1 at sign up. That's promo code DRIVE1. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Another epic appearance by Tony Vitello on the Drive.
The guy never disappoints. Mr. Excitement.
Doing in France. I feel like that had to be a baseball thing. It's like, no. I just went to France, dude.
Yeah. I'd like to know who we was.
What do you mean? Like who's going with?
Yeah, I mean would it surprise you if you like if you flipped open like some magazine and you're like, okay.
Tony Vitello with like a like Bond girl on his arm in,
or two.
In France. Yeah.
Getting out of a DB9. You know, or some kind of vintage Aston Martin. Looks like something Sean Connery would be driving around. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
He'll never let us hang out with him, will he?
No, we're not cool enough. No. Has he passed Tony Vitello has definitely passed John Reed as the coolest guy we know.
Yeah, by a long
Who's
shot.
Who's it? Or Chance? Who are the cool guy?
Well, like the only person I know that would have the gravitas to be able to hang out, Chance would be on the short list. He'd be one of a couple of people I could see being able to keep up with him.
PTR, you're on the drive. Good afternoon, sir.
What's up, gentlemen? PTR. Yeah, I'll always stand by and listen to the coach. That's nothing but just pure homespun entertainment right there. First things first, Bear, I just want to let you know you've been in my prayers twice a week since I got the news. I'm praying for you, buddy. Hang in there. Fight hard, okay?
Appreciate it. Thanks.
You're more than welcome. Listen, cancer sucks. We all know that. I was at 10 Mile today working, so I've been off the grid. That's when I found out what 10 Mile stands for. You're 10 miles off the grid. Your phones don't work. Your apps don't work. So as I was driving out of town, I heard a blurb on one of the other talk shows before I got off the grid that the last couple of days there's been a lot of movement in football and basketball recruiting. I'm going to ask you if you can give me a quick rundown on what's happened in the transfer portal, commitments, whatever, on the two sports.
Yeah. Yeah, good question. Well, you've got Brandon Huntley Hatfield committed today, a five-star power forward who's reclassifying, so he's going to graduate high school early and play on the team next year, one of the top an elite talent. You've got Jonas Adu, another seven-footer, four-star, highly touted big man who committed yesterday, so you add him to the roster in basketball. And then football, they picked up a couple of three-star commitments. Nice solid foundational kind of prospects to build on. So,
yeah, one was a linebacker out of Middle Tennessee, right, at Riverdale, yep. Something like that.
Yeah, Elijah Herring, Murfreesboro, Riverdale. Yeah. And then Vincent Snead is the lineman, defensive lineman from down in Florida. And a little nugget for you here, we are hearing that Tennessee could be setting to add another quarterback via the transfer portal to the quarterback derby for next season.
Yeah, I guess I covered more Bear than what we thought. Do we know who that is, or is that just what you're hearing?
I think the Joe Milton guy from Michigan, there's a lot of buzz that Tennessee's going to go ahead and jump in with him.
All right, gentlemen, appreciate it. Bear, take care. See you guys. Thanks.
See you. Thank you, PTR. We got time. Don is next. Good afternoon, Don. You're on the drive.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Don, what's up, man?
Well, I know you don't have much time, but there's one thing about being as old as me. I was born when the greatest music of all time was, and you poor guys have got stuck with what you got stuck with.
Oh, man. Don, don't crack on the 90s, man. The 90s is a golden age. Golden
music
age of rock music.
At the end of the 70s.
Music died at the end of the 70s. Now, I feel like we had this conversation a week or two ago.
I always say that there haven't been a good country album put out since Keith Whitley died.
But real quick on the sports thing, you know, those Wade twins, and they going up there because apparently one thinks he's a quarterback, and they're going to play him at quarterback, and I advise somebody – as another recruiting guru, they might want to talk to the Randall Cobb about how long when you go to Kentucky to play quarterback, you play quarterback.
But I mean, to be devil's advocate here, I would say going to Kentucky kind of worked out for Randall Cobb. So
he played in the NFL for about 15 years.
Quarterback.
No.
And then I've heard that Mama, you know, was comfortable up there. Maybe she likes to play the ponies. I don't know. Otherwise, why would you go? As bad as shaped we are right now, facing everything we're facing, you're still talking about a school that has beaten Tennessee like four times in 50 years. Is that really where you want to go?
Well,
never
at this
be
point,
more
they're
third or fourth than these.
Their program's more stable. They've had, you know, more success putting guys in the NFL in the past 5 to 8 years.
I mean, sadly, Don, like what's happened the last 30 or 40 years about irrelevant to this generation is what you know, my generation's music or your generation's music. I mean, they just don't care. They know that Kentucky came into Neyland Stadium and beat the dog out of Tennessee last year. So,
but do they know that, a couple of years ago they brought the best thing they've had in 50 years in here? Probably one of the worst things we've ever had and got smacked all over Neyland Stadium.
I feel you. I hate Kentucky as much as you do, Don. But
hey, I think that the other thing I say is, like, people should chill out. They're just committing. Maybe Tennessee can get back in on them. Same thing as Ty Simpson. Like, let's not show our rear ends on the interwebs and mean tweet them and their family. I say that. That's definitely what's going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. So, absolutely.
But hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully they take it in stride. Don, thanks, man. We're out of time. Got to run. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Thank you to Ryan Callahan and Tony Vitello for joining the festivities. Thank you, Guy. Thank you, Bear. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.